Well, how many brought your Bible with you today? Hope that you did, because in it is the answer. I mean, you know, in it is everything you have need of. I can't think of anything that I've ever needed in life that I didn't go to the Word of God and find my answer to. I mean, He's given me happiness, He's given me joy, He's given me peace, He's given me long life, He's blessed me with health, He's blessed me with strength, He's blessed me with money, you know, and abundance, and just all kind of good stuff, houses and land and people, friends. I mean, you know, all kind of stuff God has given us and blessed us, and so He's a wonderful God, isn't He? He sure does stick to His word, and He sure does do what He said He would do. I've met a few men and women that didn't always live up to their word. Have you met a few like that? But I'll tell you what, cast that thing in the side when you come to God, because He always does what He says He's going to do. He never fails us. Amen? Never, never, never. Amen. Let's make our confession. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God, and I'll never be the same, never, 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 in Jesus' name, hallelujah! Say it again, hallelujah! One more time, hallelujah! Break loose with woo! Wow! Somebody say, what's that? Just because I feel like it, how about that? I just feel good. You feel good? If you feel good, let your face know it. Let your mouth know it. Let that spirit that's on the inside. You know, when God breathed into Adam, He breathed into him the breath of life. Prior to that, he was just a little bit of flesh there that was on the ground. And God formed him from the dust of the earth and breathed into him, breathed, nostril, breathed, spirit, raka as it is in the Old Testament Hebrew word. He breathes into him, and man became a speaking spirit. And you and I are speaking spirits. There's something on the inside of this flesh body that you and I see. And on the inside is a spirit. That spirit, we give voice to it by allowing it to speak. You are a speaking spirit. And when you let things out of yourself, I mean, even the world knows that in some form and some fashion. What do they have? They have talk therapy. And so you come for counseling. What do? You're going to talk about your situation, talk about your thing. And sometimes whether you get anything solved or not, it doesn't matter. But you felt better because you talked about it. And you know what? God's word is much, much more powerful than just you and I talking about our life when we begin to speak God's word into our life. And so, anyway, let me get to where I need to be this morning. Look with me. Where can we go but to the Lord? Anyway, Hebrews chapter 13 is where we're going to end up with here in just a moment. Hebrews chapter 13. No, don't do that. Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, just read that text for a minute. Mark 11 and verse 23, here's what Jesus said. Mark 11, 23. Or verse 22, Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. I don't know if you ever noticed this or not, but there are people who, they do this in politics, they do this in the news media, they do this in Christianity. There are people who want to drop in to a word or a phrase that you say, or a sentence that you give, and they want to take that out and use it in their own way, in their own fashion. And many times it has nothing to do with what you really were talking about, what you're really saying. And so for that reason, sometimes I maybe give a little bit more time to the opposite foundation than what I really should, but so I do that. But in verse 22, Jesus says this, have faith in God. And so everything else I'm going to talk about the rest of the day has to do with that, have faith in God. And these next two verses that Jesus was talking about, Jesus said in the verse 22, have faith in God. The little translation in most of your Bible margins say have the faith of God or faith like God, faith like God has, but have the faith of God. In other words, we don't even get to verse 23 or verse 24 until we've got God and faith in Him. So this is not some kind of mind science kind of thing. It's not some kind of positive thinking that I'm talking about, although that's pretty good, positive thinking, better than negative thinking. But that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about God-based faith words. God-based faith words. Not man-based. Not what you just dream up in your mind or in my mind. God-based faith words. And so verse 22, Scripture says, have faith in God, Christ told us. What kind? Verse 23. For is a preposition. It connects verse 23 to verse 22. So we're connected to this faith in God. For verily, or truly, I say unto you, That's me. Somebody say, that's me. Say, Jesus is talking to me. But look, I say unto you that whosoever, there I am again, because I'm a whosoever, that whosoever shall say, now he tells us what I have to do. I shall say, I have to speak, I have to say something, shall say unto this mountain, obstacle, big, greater than me, mightier than I, the mountain. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, literal King James text says, be thou removed, but if you like, be removed, and be cast into the sea. Mountain, be plucked up, be removed, be cast into the sea. And he does not doubt in his heart. There is no doubt there, but he believes. He believes. I've heard people say, I don't believe in that stuff. That's fine, you don't get it. Because this is for that person that does believe. He doesn't doubt in his heart. He does believe. Somebody said, well, I believe in God. That's not what he's going to say. And we already talked about that in verse 22. Oh, I believe in this, I believe in that. Not that, no. But believes that those things which he says. He believes what he says. He believes the words that come out of his own mouth that he just said. That person that believes that, believes what he says, shall come to pass. He believes it will happen. Really does. Believe it's going to happen. He shall have whatsoever God said. No. He shall have whatsoever what? Who's doing the saying? The he is, the she is, we are. We are doing the saying. What are we doing the saying of? We're saying the things that we believe. What are the things that we believe? What God has said to us. Why? Because we have faith in God. My faith is not in my own words. My faith is not in what I speak of my own self, in so much as that faith is in my own words myself when those words are what God has said. So this is a God thing. You don't have to back up. You don't have to run. You don't have to hide. You don't have to be embarrassed. I mean, you don't have to get, you know, all bent out of shape when people start criticizing you and bad-mouthing you all and this kind of stuff for speaking the word of God. I mean, you know, people constantly do that. But you got a choice. You can believe what God said do, or you can said to say, or you can believe what other people say. In October the 12th of 1982, Sheila and I founded this church, and we began, and there were people, I had enemies that said to me, we're going to give you 2 weeks, and you'll be out of the business. So they said. I had friends said, we'll give you a month. After the month. But God said, I'll give you till Jesus comes. And we got a choice which one we believe. Because certainly you don't want to base your life on what your enemies say about you. And friends have sometimes have very good intentions, and then sometimes just not knowing well. And so you can't depend upon friends as much as we love them, enemies as much as we want to stay away from them. But we want to depend on what God has said to us. And when you have a word from God, a rhema word from God, and you act on that word of God, and you speak it, and you believe it, you say it, you're going to get it. Amen? No disqualifications about it. No, I'm sorry, that don't work. No, it does work. It does work. And so Jesus told us that as a principle. So based on that, what I saw was this. He said, when you say unto this mountain, be removed. Something moves the mountain. What do? When you say, the saying moves the mountain. You see that? Verse 23. The saying moves the mountain. Okay? It's not that God comes down with a big electric shock or lightning or thunder and that kind of stuff. Sheila and I have been watching some of these older movies on Roku. Anybody got Roku? On Roku, and I never liked it much then. I don't like it a lot now, but it is pretty decent and wholesome. It was called The Highway to Heaven. You ever remember The Highway to Heaven? And say all so sad and down and out stuff. I mean, I don't know. That's just not me. But anyway, we watch them sometimes. They're good, clean stuff. And every time, I've noticed this. We've watched about 6 or 7 episodes in it so far of Highway to Heaven. And every time God speaks, it's always lightning and thunder. Boom, pow, boom, boom. I mean, God don't ever come down and just talk to his child or, you know, it's always pow, boom, all this stuff that happens when those words. But now notice, it's not a pow, boom that caused something to happen in your life. It's your words that move the mountain. He didn't say pow, boom, moves the mountain, did he? Kind of like Batman show here now, don't we? Now we are getting nostalgic. Pow, remember that? Big pow, boom. Holy this, Batman, holy that. But anyway, wasn't much holy about it. But anyway. It's your words. Whoever says unto the mountain, be removed. Be thou cast thee down in his heart, but believe his heart those things which he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he says. He'll have whatsoever he says when he believes what he says. Well, this had a very big and large impact on my life. Back, it was in 1980 when I first began to evangelize. I was preaching in another church, and I went to my home church here in Lawrence and went there and prayed in one of the Sunday school rooms that was there. And I was laying on the floor. I was praying and asking God to move in that service that I was going to that night in a revival meeting that I was preaching. And so I began to pray, and these words came to me. And I began to read this passage of Scripture in verse 23, new and fresh to me maybe then as well as it is today. But then I'm reading it and looking at it, and I began to just say that. I quit at that time. I quit looking for the boom and the pow, and I started saying. I started saying what I wanted. I started saying what I believed God would do. And we just had a wonderful, wonderful revival. We went a 10-day revival that we had there that was scheduled for 3. And so, you know, God moved. It's based on that verse. That verse did it for me during that time of my life. It's done for many, many other times since. But it did. And so you and I have to learn that. We got to learn that our words move mountains. Words move mountains. Have you ever said anything to husband, wife, or spouse, or whatever, and you spoke and you said something, and you notice a tear dwell up in your spouse's eye or a different expression? I remember doing, in our lifetime, maybe a time or two, maybe more than a time or two. Sheila and I, we've said this, that, and the other. And I look at him, boy, if I see her tear fall, I know something done touched her deep. And it really, really touched her heart. And what happens then, it don't matter what I say and what I was talking about. It doesn't matter if I'm right or if I'm wrong. Once I see that tear, it's all over. I'm done with now. Whatever she wants, that's what way we can go with. Once I do that. But, you know, why? But words are powerful. Your words are powerful. It will change situations in your life. Now then, so we talked about that just a little bit. And, you know, not only that, I got the Word of God for it, but I got something else I remember from many years ago. There was a group that was called the Bee Gees. Remember the Bee Gees? B-E-E-G-E-E-S. The Bee Gees. They wrote a song called It's Only Words. It's only words and words. You remember that? There's a song, was that there a while? I got to think about that when I was preaching about this message in my heart and life, and looked at it, and I read some of the courses that was in that. And one of the words, believe it or not, he said, this world has lost its glory. Let's start a brand new story. Right now, there's no other time. Right now, talk in everlasting words and dedicate them. Andy Gibbs said, dedicate them all to me, but we can dedicate all our words to God. But the thing I want you to see is this. You want to start a whole new story? Change your words. Change your words and you'll start a new story in your life. You want to start a new story? Change what you've been saying. I mean, if the Bee Gees knew about it some 30 years ago, whatever, we ought to know about it a whole lot better than that by now. Amen? All right. We looked a little bit last week, Mark chapter 11. We looked in Genesis. We saw how Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him at the age of 365 years of age, never died, went to heaven, been there now 5,800 years, still alive. And we saw that, and we saw in the book of Hebrews that it said he did that because he had this testimony that he pleased God. What's a testimony? Something that you say, something that you speak. Hebrews 11:5, he had the testimony that he pleased God. And you and I need to ask ourselves, does our testimony please God? That's what it's all about. Does our testimony please God? Does what we say please God? If it does, keep on saying it and say a whole lot more of it. If it doesn't, then button up the mouth. Somebody say, amen. Tickle it up. Cut it out. All right. So we looked a little bit about that. We saw in Malachi where God told the Old Testament saints, that he told them, said, your words, they weary me. I'm tired of hearing it. Somebody say, I'm tired of hearing it. God told that to the children of Israel. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm wearied from your words. And you don't want to get God tired of hearing your words. Because you read the rest of that story and what happened, there were some terrible things happened when God got tired of hearing people's words in the old covenant days. Great judgment fell upon them. He said this, he said, your words are stout against me. I mean, you've spoken some bad things about God. Some strong stuff against God you should have never said, and you should have never spoken, yet you said it, and it came out your mouth. And there's a lot of people on planet Earth today doing that same thing, still speaking the wrong thing against God, God didn't have any. I hear people sometimes say this, and it so irks me to hear it. A psychologist might be talking to someone who's hurt emotionally, and I understand their hurt and pain, but talking to them and says something like, well, you just need to forgive. Yeah, but God this and God. Well, you need to forgive God. And I've even seen Christians write articles about forgiving God. You ain't got to forgive God, but for nothing. God ain't never did you wrong. Amen? Ain't no forgiving God. If you got there, you better look at your mind because it's got twisted and bent out of shape. You don't have to forgive God. You need to get to the place and let some stuff go in your own life. If it's hurting you and you're bothering it, let it go and just move on. But God ain't the one did it to you. He ain't the one to hurt you, and you ain't sure ain't got to forgive God. Not at all. Okay, so when we look at this, we see God got upset with them about their words. We saw that Jesus said, every word I speak, it's spirit and it's life. Words I speak, they are spiritual and they are life. The words you and me speak, they are spirit. They're my spirit. They're your spirit coming out of you. They are spirit and they are life. They are and become your life. You create your world as you speak words into the world. And I say that sometimes people say, I don't believe in all that stuff about creating your world. Words. Well, you do. You do. You say, well, you know, if you do that right there and you begin to, you know, speak your words out like that and begin to say things like you create this and that, just watch your life. The way you talk, it will become. What you speak about in your life and how you begin to talk about things, it will begin to happen in your life. It just does. It's been along at least enough to see that happen. Now look at Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look in the book of Hebrews just a little bit, in the book of Hebrews, and let me show you several things. Hebrews chapter 13. And let me just show you several things that's there. And concerning our words that he talked about. Now, the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who that was. It sounds an awful lot like the Apostle Paul because it's a great book that teaches you about how we have a better covenant than that old covenant, teaches us about the priesthood ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and you and I and being fully and completely cleansed of all of our sins. He talks, it's a great doctrinal research book if you want to look at it that way. It's a great treatise on the faith, the Christian faith. Maybe Paul wrote it. Most people believe he did. We don't know the author as well. But I do know this. It has a lot to say in there about your and my words. Notice Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says this, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Notice that. Be content with such things as you have. It's not talking about don't have any ambition, don't have any dreams, don't have any goals, don't have any desires. It's not talking about that. What it's saying about in all of life, Paul lived a very difficult life because he was beat, he was chastised, he was in hunger, he was in famine, he was in all these kind of things, shipwreck, all kind of things came against him. Yet in all of those things, he said that his God was well able to take care of him in all of those things. And he did not become depressed, discouraged in all of those things, although they were happening to him. So you and I can be in adverse circumstances in our life and still be content. We can be in situations. I mean, I think about, Sheila and I were talking about this the other day. When we first got married, we didn't have nothing. Anybody know what nothing is? Take what you know nothing is and go right below it. That's where I was at. We didn't have nothing. But you know what? We were happy. And we still are. Now we got something and we still happy. So I've been happy with nothing. I've been happy with something. Being happy with something is a lot better than being happy with nothing. But we were still happy. Things don't make you happy as such. Happiness and joy is something that goes on the inside. You get happiness and joy on the inside and you can be happy in all kinds of situations of life. And so don't be running around, I wish God would do this for me. I wish God would do that for me. God don't ever care for me. Don't give me. No, it's not about that. When you fall in love with Jesus, that's the number one thing in your life. Don't matter if you got it or don't got it. Don't matter. You're still happy and madly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, along that life, I'm persuaded God blesses us with many good things. Many good things. Amen? He does. He does. Now then, so he said, be content. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter. Be content. And the main thing is that Christ said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's the main thing. And why did he say that? Look, verse 6. So, say the word so. I believe we're in another preposition there. So, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In other words, he said it, so you can say it. Is that what it said? For he hath said, Christ said, where did he say it? It's in the book of Matthew, the last chapter. Chapter 20. For he hath said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Jesus said, How many believes he said it? Somebody say amen. Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. That's what he said. You and I should never be singing those songs, you know, like, you know, I'm alone. I'm so alone. I'm so lonesome I could cry. That song about made me cry when I hear it, but anyway. I mean, get that lonesome. Go do something, you know, whatever. I understand people get lonely. I understand. But anyway, there's no reason for a Christian to be lonely. Amen? There's no reason. No reason. And so he said it. So I can say it. Everybody say, he said it, so I can say it. Everybody say, the word says, so I can say. Say, God said, so I can say it. Say, Jesus said it, so I can say it. Say, Jesus said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. So I can say, he'll never leave me, never forsake me. Hallelujah. Amen. That is confessing the word. Speaking the word of God. Ain't no wrong about that. It's all right. It's all right to speak the word of God. Don't let the doubters and unbelievers and fear mongers and all the people that, you know, want to tear you down, don't let them discourage you. I mean, you know, I've told people before, if it's wrong, then God tell me when I get to heaven, all right? I mean, that's just ridiculous. But somebody's like, well, you can't say what God said. Why can't I say what God said? Why can't you say what God said? I mean, you know, we say things in life and do things in life. I've got kids, and throughout life I've told them this is the case, this is the story. And if they go out and say, my daddy said it, then their daddy said it. Why can't they say that? Why can't they say, my mama told me? They won't have to shop around. But anyway, why can't they say, my mama told me? Why can't they? You know, we say things in life like that. We speak things like that in life. Why can't you say what God said? I believe you can. Amen? I can. I can say what God said. Now, not only that, verse 6, you can be bold about it. We need some more better things than these little wimpy Christians we got around America. These are people that stand up and just say some things. I mean, when people act crazy and they're nuts and all this kind of stuff going on, you know what? It's just crazy stuff. Read something the other day when they said there's 100 different sexes. 100? I thought there was 2, male and female. And now you got 100? You know what they need to hear? Well, that's just your opinion, so I guess that's okay. But no, you are crazy. There ain't no 100 different sexes. There's 2. There's male and there's female. Amen? And they need some people to stand up and boldly say some stuff. Because it's that bold. I've learned this in life. When you speak to other people, people can readily come out with their opinion or their belief or their theory or their doctrine or their teaching. Readily come out with it. Sometimes hard, sometimes strong, sometimes a little bit. And I've heard people come out very abrasive with it and not be confronted, and they stay with it. I've heard the exact same people come out with something very abrasive in their thoughts and their beliefs, and someone just confront them, not in a mad way. I'm not talking mean or mad, but someone boldly confront them. Well, no, that can't be right. That's wrong. Here's what the truth is. And watch them back down instantly. And if we let the world keep on in their way, saying all this bold trash they're talking, and nobody stands up and boldly says anything back, they're going to believe all that junk. And then that's when you got people who want to appear in our public libraries like drag queens, dressed up teaching reading to 3 and 4 years old about how it's all right to be a drag queen. It ain't all right to be a drag queen. You a nut if that's what you think it is. Amen? I don't think it ought to be that hard. Somebody needs to be. Somebody needs to be. You know, get them over there. Pull them all the way over where you're at. Well, maybe they won't make it that far. At least I'll try to get them to the middle of the road or somewhere, you know. Pull them over. But all this stuff, you need to start boldly saying something. But you know what? We say, well, I'd give my life for the gospel's sake. Well, you wouldn't if you won't boldly speak something. If you won't even let words come out your mouth, you're not going to lay down your life for the gospel's sake. Amen? Boldly. Wherefore? Boldly speak it, so that we may boldly say. What do we say? We boldly say what he said. What do you say? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. We boldly say what he said. Why? Because God's with me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He is with me. And because he is with me, I can boldly say the same thing. Not going to come off of it. Keep on saying it. I mean, keep on believing and saying what God has said to you. Amen? Say it all the way. I mean, say it in the lion's den, outside the lion's den, right through the lion's den. Just keep on speaking it. Keep on saying it. Keep on speaking the things that God has said. Don't back down. Don't quit. And be bold about it. This world needs the boldness of a secure child of God that can stand up in this day, that will live their life by the word of God and speak by faith the things in this world. World needs it. This world needs it. It really does. It needs it. The world we're living in needs it tremendously. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. In the book of Hebrews, what does it say about our words? We boldly say. Everybody say, I'm bold. Bold as a lion. Hebrews chapter 3, Scripture tells us this. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. How many are partakers of the heavenly calling? I believe that we all are. If we're born again, we certainly are. Consider, acknowledge, or think about the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. How many believes that Christ Jesus is the great high priest that has ascended into the heavenlies? Say amen. What's he high priest of? He's high priest of the things of God. Well, yeah, I'm sure that's sound scripture. High priest of the covenant of God. Well, I'm sure that's sound as well. But specifically, you've got verbatim what he is high priest of. He is high priest of our profession. In other words, he represents us according to what we say. The word profession there, it says in another place, New King James talks about it, high priest of our confession. It's the same thing, confession, profession. Jesus is high priest of what we say. And so whenever we go through life and situations and circumstances come against us, we have a choice on what we're going to say. You may have a child that is sort of teeter-tottering or going awry or facing difficulties. Then you know that's happening. There ain't nobody saying it's not. But why can't you begin to profess and confess over that child the word of God? The authority of the believer, remember that? Why can't you do that? And when Christ Jesus, who is with us, seated in heavenly places with us, by the right hand of God the Father, and the Father sees our circumstance, our situation, and in my mind turns to Jesus and says, what does Leon say about it? And Jesus says, Leon says, his child is born again and on his way to heaven. Amen? And Jesus says that. He represents me to God the Father in saying that. He doesn't say. What does Leon say? Well, he said, you know, they're never going to make it, and they're terrible. Whatever, it's all bad news for them. You know, the devil's got them, won't let them go. They're never going to mount anything. We don't say those things because Jesus is the high priest of what I say. What does high priest do? High priest is a representative. He is the go-between between God the Father and me, the believer. And he is my middle person, if you will. And so whatever I speak, Christ says and says it to God. And that's what I'm represented for. That's my representation in heaven. It's like an attorney. It's like a lawyer. When they speak and say things, they represent their client. I am Christ Jesus' client. He is speaking. Leon, what's going on? What's happening? What do you want? Here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to speak. I confess. I believe. I speak this in the name of Jesus, in the name of my attorney, my authority, Jesus, and it goes before God the Father. And so what do you want in your life? What do you want in your spirit, man? What do you want in your soul? What do you want in your family? What do you want in your heart? What do you want going on in your mind? I mean, I understand we can all face circumstances and situations when life hits you and it hits you hard. I've been smacked a few times. How about you? You ever been smacked a few times? I have. I've been smacked a few times, different things. I even made a little video about when I broke my arm, and it was November of the 9th. I was in Newberry Hospital on that night, and I was laying there in the bed, and Sheila was over there laying there beside of me. Not the same bed. Anyway, she's in the next bed right beside of me. No, it's the thing you make in the bed. There wasn't a double room, what I'm trying to say. We wasn't sleeping single in a double bed. She was on this other side. What is it? Chair you fold up. She's over there. There. And I could have said a lot of things, but I made a happy video, all broken and bruised up, and blood on me, and arm broken, and face mangled, and all that. And I made a video, and I began to say things right there. And I said in that video, I said, you know what?
These people say this and they say that. I understand not, but I just believe. I just believe that I'm going to get a whole lot better. I just believe that I'm going to get well. I just believe I'm going to be fully restored. And that's what I said then. That's what I've been saying. That's what I'm still saying. Amen? And you know what? Even if I, and I'm not, it's far from that, but even if I went to heaven with a broke arm, I'd still be saying, this arm's healed. They say, who's that guy with the broke arm? And I say, what broke arm? I'm not be defined by brokenness. You know, we all been broken. We all face hardship. Life's hit you hard. It's like it tore your heart out in some situations of our life. All of us have been there in different ways, different others. Don't you let that define you. Don't you let that determine how you live the rest of your life. Amen? I know on the other side of Calvary, man, I was washed up and undone without God or His Son. I was a sinner. I was no good. Of all men, most miserable. I really was. But I ain't on that side of Calvary no more. I'm on the other side of Calvary now. I've been blood washed. I've been blood bought. I'm a child of the living God. Amen? And that's what we are. And let's live that life. Well, you may have to change your words to get you there. If you're still talking that trash, you're still talking that other stuff, you're going to keep on living it. Why? You don't have any choice. You say, well, I'll just let God do whatever He wants to do. Here's what God wants to do. He represents you according to your confession of faith. We just read it. Jesus is the high priest of your profession. You are represented based on what you say. So if you want to still say all that other stuff, welcome to say it. It's up to you. But that's what you get represented for too. God says, what'd they say? They said they'll never make it. What'd they say? They said they so lonesome they could die. What'd they say? They said they life is terrible for them. What'd they say? They say it's hard. They can't do anything in life. What'd they say? Nobody in their family's ever done it. Why should they? What'd they say? I mean, that's what you would. I mean, what else can Christ represent you by? What you say then, but Christ wants good things. He does. And Christ, Jeremiah tells us that, I know the plans I have for you. They're to give you a good and expected end, a great hope. And I know that. He does want all those things. But He only represents you by what Christ says here. He's your high priest, and He's high priest of your profession, of your confession. So I'm going to speak it. How about you? I'm going to say what the Word says about my life. Now, look, another place in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Scripture says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. There it is, Jesus again, the great high priest of the book of Hebrews. That is passed into the heavens. He's in heaven, I'm on earth. He's passed into the heavens. Who is it? It's Jesus, the Son of God. Since He is our high priest, let us hold fast. Hold on to your profession. Hold on to your confession. Don't stop saying it. When you look at that checkbook and it looks... you know, all in the red, and it looks all in the negative. Hold on to confession. God is my Lord. He supplies all of my needs. And it's the Lord God that giveth thee wealth, as the Scripture says. It is God that teaches you the profit. And God's going to fill me till my barns will be filled with plenty. My presses are going to burst out with new wine. My basket is pressed down, shaken together, running over. God's blessed me abundantly. Now, I can say all that, which is what the Word says, or I can say what the checking book says. But if you keep saying what the Word says and doing it, you keep saying, remember, believe in your heart is doing it. You keep saying it and doing it, your checkbook will change. Your checkbook will change. It's subject to change. Look at Jerry Savelle taught me that many years ago. When you look at an adverse circumstance in your life, it's subject to change. Things of this earth are temporal. But the things of God, they are eternal. So hang on to the eternal. Everything around here is subject to change. If you don't believe it, look in the mirror. All right, Hebrews 4, verse 14. I've been saying that all week. I've still been on my diet. Now I've been on my diet, 28 days. My low, low, way, 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 way down diet I've been on. I've had to give up things to eat. I mean, instead of going to Burger King, getting a Burger King Whopper value size meal, giant size, and a large milkshake, two apple pies, and three cookies, I had to drop off one of them cookies. I'm out of cut way down, y'all. I cut down a whole lot more. I developed, no, really, on my diet, I go, and I don't eat all that stuff. And so, but I do go and get a Whopper on my diet. And the way I eat a Whopper, I use my thumb to trip myself out. I slide the waffle Oh, Lord. Is the Waffle House open anyway? I slide the burger, the Whopper, bottom bun toward me, and I eat it. And by the time I get done eating it, I've only ate about a quarter of the top of the bun, and I throw that away. And so I ate lettuce, I ate tomato, I ate meat, which was a carb, and no carbs in the meat, and the bottom, little piece of bread. And that's my whole lunch. So I cut way back. So I lost like 15 pounds now. It's 12 last week, but I lost 15 pounds now. I told Sheila every week, you know, weigh several times a day, because if sometime during the day I get off, I want to see what I can do to catch it. But anyway, that lion scale, you can't hide them lion scales, but they'll get you. So notice. Hold on. Because I've got on those scales one morning and it say so-and-so. It'll tell me, that lion scale, it'll tell me what it is, what the weight is. And then I'll go and do this. I found this out too. You can go to bed at night, weigh a certain thing, and wake up in the morning and weigh a pound and a half less. Did you know that? I'm going to create something called a sleep diet. Just stay asleep long enough. You stay asleep long enough, you can lose all kind of weight. But as soon as you start putting water in yourself and drinking this and drinking that and all this other kind of stuff that you do, then you gain back. But you know, notice you got to hold fast. Because you can see that scale go up and go down. It's amazing. Amazing to do some of the same stuff, and it doesn't happen as greatly as it did the week before, so to speak. And I think I might have lost 3 pounds this week. 3 measly pounds this week. And so, and you look at it in that scale, sometimes scale go up and down, up, down, like that. But you don't live by that. You hold fast. If I keep doing the right things, right? Keep doing the right thing, then the weight's got to come off. I say amen. And don't be moved by what you see. Hebrews 4, verse 14. We have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's hold fast. Don't quit. Don't give up. Let me tell you, the thing is this. Most people lose when they start giving up. Because every one of us is going to be tested and tempted. Whatever, when you set out on a faith endeavor for God, don't think it's just going to go all smooth. There's going to be the testing thing. There's going to be the time that you come in there. Well, why don't you quit? Why don't you stop? Why don't you give up? Why don't you relent? Why don't you give in? I mean, after all, it's okay. Everyone else do it. Why don't you do it? And you'll be tested and you'll be tempted to quit and give up on the things. But notice he says, hold fast. It's not just enough to have a confession and speak the words, but hold fast to those words. Hold on to those words. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let go. Hold fast to those words. Whatever it is that you're believing from God's word and you're speaking that is God's word, don't let go of it. Don't stop saying it. You say, yeah, but so-and-so said. Okay, maybe they did. But it doesn't matter. God has said. And when you do that in health issues, the doctor said, okay, maybe he did. The test said, okay, maybe they did. I'm not denying or disputing all those things. I'm just saying God's word is higher and greater than all those things. And if I've got my choice which to believe, I'm going to believe the word of God. And I've seen it come past in my life time and time again, and continue always, it will. It will work in your life. So hold on to it. Don't quit. Don't give up. It's when you quit and give up that you begin to lose out. Hold on. Don't let go. Somebody say, hold on. Hold on. I won't say it, but hold on. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Look at another one. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Why is it that we hold on? Because you said that we need to speak the word of God and confess something, and we need to keep talking it and keep saying it. That's why. No. I did say that, but that's not the whole story. Why do you need to hold on? Because if I just say it enough times, it'll happen. No. You do need to keep saying it until it happens, but that's not why you need to hold on. The reason you need to hold on is this: without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Because God does not lie. Take out of it our words, take out of it our belief, take out everything. God does not lie. That's the reason you hold on. You don't hold on. It's like, I'm hoarse now saying it. Somebody. No, you don't hold on because you just got to keep on saying it. You do need to say it. But you don't hold on for that reason. I'm not saying it because I think the multiplicity of words will get me something. It won't. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says some people pray. They think because of their vain repetitions that God hears them. We don't have vain repetitions. It's not because of my saying and saying and saying that I get it. It's because of his faithfulness that I keep on saying that I'm going to get it. It's His faithfulness. Remember, anchor these things in the right thing, and you won't have a problem when people criticize you. It's His faithfulness. He is faithful that promised. And for me not to hold on, I got to say He must have lied. For me to give up and quit, I got to say, I guess His word's just not trustworthy. And that's not the case. Jesus Christ never lies, not a man that He should lie, Scripture says in the book of Romans. And His word is trustworthy. And He is faithful. And He's the one that promised it. And if He said it, He promised it, He'll sure bring it about. Amen? That's what you hold on to. So in that regard, how can I not keep saying it? How can I not keep speaking the word of God? I have to. Look at the book of Psalms. Just a few things here. Psalms. What can you say? Psalms has a lot to say about it. I can't begin to cover what Psalms talks about with the word of God. Psalms chapter 107. Oh, good stuff in Psalms 107. Verse 20 talks about being healed. But verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord. How many redeemed? You know what redeemed is? That means you were owned by the devil. He had you. You were a child of disobedience, as the book of Ephesians says, chapter 2. And the devil had you and had legal right to you because you were born of this earth and born of sin. The devil had legal claim to you. Redemption means that someone paid the price of your slavery, paid the price of your bondage, and because of that payment, they had to let you go. And so the devil, who had legal right to all of us, Jesus paid our price and made Him let us go. Therefore, we are redeemed. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What is the say-so? The say-so is, I am redeemed. I am bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I am redeemed. Somebody say, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I am not my own. I am His. I am redeemed. And so let you say that. So then, if some circumstance comes against you that's not in line with the will of God, what do I say? I'm redeemed from that. We talk about it sometimes, and you don't have all service to sort of dissect things as you should, but the first five books of the Old Testament are the book of the law, and the Bible says we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Everybody say redeemed. So we're redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from that. And so people can say all these kind of things against you, but recognize you're redeemed from those things. I'm redeemed. I've been redeemed by blood divine. I'm redeemed. So notice, whom He has delivered from the hand of the adversary. That's the explanation of what I just gave you. Redeemed, the adversary had to let us go. Devil had to let us go. I'm redeemed. And so those are some of the things that you say. You don't walk around and say, well, I'm so bound up. You ever people say, I'm so bound up, I just can't get a prayer. That's why, Pastor, I don't know what it is. It seems like God is a million miles away and He never does hear me. What is going on? Now, I've had some people like that saying, well, you know, if I had to listen to you talk like that too, I probably wouldn't hear you either. Say something worth hearing. Quit talking that stuff. Well, you ain't going to hurt my feelings. Well, I'm sorry, but somebody need to hurt your feelings. Well, now I guess I'll have to change, won't I? Well, that'd be a good thing to do, yeah. Why do we want to do that? You've been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Quit talking that other stuff. Talk redemption through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Well, look at Psalms 19. Psalms 19, verse 14. Psalms 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth. Notice he's talking about words of the mouth. I just don't believe all this stuff about words of the mouth. Well, how can you get away from it? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. See, there's a connection there. You know why you got words of the mouth? Because you got meditation of the heart. He just went one level deeper is all He did. What did Jesus say? Of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, doesn't it? And so let the words of my mouth and the thoughts, the meditation, the ponderings of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Let it be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my strength, there it is again, my Redeemer. You're my strength, you're my Redeemer. Now let my words of my mouth, that's physical, ain't no way around it. It's what you say that comes out of your mouth. Let the words of your mouth be acceptable to God, as well as the meditation of your heart. Well, somebody said, I better catch what I say with the mouth. Yeah, do that, that's okay. But if you work on the meditation of your heart, the words of your mouth will line up with whatever's in your heart. And so the greater place to go is the meditation of your heart. And go to that heart level, and you get the mouth level right. Some people need to work on the mouth, don't they? Amen. Some people, they talk about wash out your mouth with soap. Anybody ever had the mouth washed out with soap? Oh, look, you have? My Lord, what did y'all say? No, don't tell me. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Well, that's a good little disciplining move, I'm sure. I'm sure it is. I think we need a little more hardships in life sometime when we do the wrong. I can understand that. But you know what? What we really need is a heart washed out with the blood of Jesus. You get the heart washed out with the blood of Jesus, mouth's going to be okay. The mouth is going to be okay. So then, let the words of my mouth. So there it is again. I mean, words move mountains, and he's telling us all this stuff. Look at Psalms 34, verse 1. Psalms 34, verse 1. Well, what should I do the way you talk, Pastor? Or just go around praising God all the time, even though no matter how bad I feel. Look at Psalms 34, verse 1. You ever felt bad, Pastor? Yeah, I felt bad a few times. Yeah, I have. I felt bad a few times. But I didn't talk it. He did not say it one time. Well, maybe. I think throughout the years, Sheila and I had done a little something here different than there. I forget what it was. And one time she said, you got a hair growing between your two eyebrows, you know, your head. I said, where's it at? She said, right here. She said, pow. I said, Sheila, what'd you just do? You don't pull my hand out. What'd you do? And pluck a hair. You might pluck hair out between your eyebrows. That's rough, ain't it? Sheila can find a hair. I said, I'm ready to go to church. How'd I look? She said, you look fine, except that hair growing out your nose. Boy, you look fine. I said, what hair? She said, it's a wild hair. I said, it's a wild hair. I'll pluck that thing back. No, let me get it. Pow! That's one of the advantages of being married. Amen? Psalms 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. I thought, yeah, praise God. Yeah, I'll bless the Lord at all times. Now don't get this out there. There's some little understanding in that, because some people say praise God for everything. That's not really where you need to be, praising God for everything. There's some things I don't praise God for what the devil does. I don't hear and read in the paper and say, well, this terrible individual here just killed all his family and set the house on fire, killed 8 members of family. I don't say, well, praise God for that. No, you don't praise God for everything. But everything that God says in his word, everything that's in his will in his word, we certainly do praise God for that. Now, there's some other times when people do wrong in the earth and God's judgment falls in. Well, Lord be praised. Now, he's the judge, not me. The judge. And so you just have to understand those kind of things in life. But notice this, I'll bless the Lord at all times. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever's going on, thank you, Jesus. I'll bless the Lord at all times. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Wherever you're at, whatever you do, we bless in the Lord. I tell you about my friend, Edward Hollingsworth, many years ago. And Edward Hollingsworth recently went home to be with the Lord. But he was the kind of guy, he blessed the Lord wherever he's at. And I remember meeting him in the grocery store. And I thought, oh, Lord, there he is. I was trying to get my stuff and get out. Then Brother Edward saw me. Brother Bible! Isn't God good to us today? I mean, the intercom wouldn't have been no louder than what he spoke. It went all over the place. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I think I'm going to get me one of them good holy gallon of milk. I mean, whatever it was. He praised the Lord and blessed the Lord. Well, we probably could use a little more of that. That's okay. I think all of us probably need an Edward in our life. You know, nothing wrong with Brother Edward. I love him. But you know, bless the Lord at all times. You don't have to make a spectacle of yourself, but sometimes you might need to. I don't know. Sometimes you might need to. But certainly bless the Lord in your heart at all times. Well, thank you, Jesus. God will take care of that. Amen. God will do something about that. I mean, AJ told me this here, I don't know, a few months ago. We drove up to a gas station, and I said, well, isn't the gas high? That's what I said. I said, isn't the gas thing going up now? I mean, that's in a lot of our conversations, isn't it? And I said, well, didn't the gas go up higher? And AJ said, well, thank God we got money to buy it, Daddy. I said, rest of the story is that money came out of my pocket, not his. But anyway, I tell you, this kid business, I got to get it figured out. Woo! Somebody say, woo! Next time you go up there and you look at that gas and it looks like it went up about a quarter, go, woo! Like that.
Somebody be looking at you and they're, what's going on over there while they're filling up their gas tank? I'll bless the Lord at all times. 219, I'll bless him. 229, I'll bless him. $2.49, I'll bless him. I'll really bless him if it went down to a quarter gallon like it used to be, Brother Jimmy, in our day. But I'll bless him at all times. Amen? Bless the Lord at all times. He'll provide for us. His praise shall continually. Where should it be? Where? I'm not just thinking it. I'm not just reading it. No, it's in my mouth. His praise will be in my mouth. Somebody say hallelujah. Let your mouth say it. Let your mouth say it. Hallelujah. Say praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Holy Lord God. Stand up with me this morning. Say hallelujah. Say it again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say this. Say thank you, Jesus. Say I give you praise, Lord. I glorify you. Say thank you, Lord, for my health and my strength. Thank you, Lord, for money in my life. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, delivering me, setting me free from a devil's hell. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Thank you, Lord, for an absolutely beautiful girlfriend. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I mean, God's good to us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I think it's Miss Helen's birthday today. Thank you for at least one more year. Amen. A great amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God's good to us, isn't he? Thank you, Lord. I can move. I can talk. I can walk. I do all these things. Thank you, Lord. God's good. God's good. His grace, his mercy endures forever. He said, let that continually be in your mouth. Don't let it go. Don't let it slip. Hebrews said, take heed. Unless you let these things slip, don't do it. The devil's wanting to take advantage of us, but don't let it go. Never going to stop speaking it. Never going to stop saying it. My God is good. I want to know it. I want the whole world to know it. I want God knows that I know, then he knows that I know it. Every one of us in this thing all together, tied up, wrapped up, all in these things, tangled up in God, as the song used to say. Don't ever let it slip. Don't let it go. Hold on to it. Amen. Hold on, amen? Oh, Lord God, we give you praise. We give you glory. God, you've done more for us, God, than we can ever recount, than we ever live to give you all the praise for. Oh, God, we pray, Lord God. Forgive us, oh, Lord. God, if in our life, Lord, we fail to recognize you, fail to recognize your goodness, Lord, fail to recognize your glory in our life, all the good things. You've done so many good things for us, Lord, that we could have never purchased them. We couldn't have bought them. We didn't have anything to give you. And God, if I gave everything I am and all that I have and all I'll ever be, it's still not enough. But yet, God, you freely gave to us. Oh, God, how can I not thank you? How can I not praise you, Father? When I see the blessings on our lives, oh, Lord God, how can I not respond from a heart of love that loves you, tells you how great you are, Almighty God, how wonderful you are, what a mighty God we serve. Lord, we give you all praise. We give you all glory. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands toward the heavens. Say this prayer with me. Say, dear Father, I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you me, all of me, with great thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless. Tell somebody how good God is. Could you do that?